DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
Moncrief on News Talk.
So much of the news cycle is taken up with public opinion polls. In the US, as we know, the results of polls often seem to reflect the leanings of the media organisations that commission them. And as we know from the last referendum, polls can get it wrong. Is polling science or art, or a bit of both? Kevin Cunningham is a politics lecturer in TU Dublin and founder of Ireland Thinks. Afternoon, Kevin.
Afternoon.
I suppose the first thing is the questions. How do you phrase the questions? And if you're commissioned by someone to carry out a poll, do they want questions phrased a certain way? And do you have to kind of debate that with them?
Yeah, you do have to debate that with them. Yeah, you do. And you kind of have to hold, as a pollster, you have to kind of hold the line on it, because you know that your peers or people pretty smart will kind of take the piss out of your polling company if you introduce a massively leading polling question, you know. We did have a very interesting one relatively recently, which we did some work for the Migrant Council of Ireland, in which we showed that a significant majority of people were, generally speaking, in favour of immigration, or had relatively positive things to say about people who are immigrants. And I think that surprised a lot of people who hadn't necessarily been paying as much attention to that sort of question that we've had in the past. So we've asked that question. So that particular question, let's say, I've actually asked for the Sunday Independent. It's a question that's been used in academic research. So what I normally do is I'd normally look to the academic research, what sort of questions have been asked in the past, what questions have been asked in other countries, which allows you to have a comparison over time and across countries to kind of see not just what are people's attitudes to this question, but how have those attitudes changed over time. And one of the reasons why that was quite interesting, because there's a lot of polls we've done, and other companies have done even more, which kind of have emphasised how much the general population are not happy with the refugee crisis in Ireland. But this other poll shows how people are generally in favour of immigrants. And I think it adds to the whole thing, because it shows there's a nuance here. There's a group of people who are upset with the refugee situation, but also generally pro-immigrant. And I think that's a group that's kind of been missing in a lot of this kind of conversation.
Yeah, because you can be unhappy about the refugee crisis for a whole range of reasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't mean you're, you know, a member of some right-wing nut job or anything.
Well,
like
that's
that.
The thing. And I think polls can often add that kind of nuance, where sometimes, like, public opinion writing, I guess, will often take one side or another. The poll can kind of show it's a little bit muddy sometimes in the middle. And in particular, in this particular topic, I think it was important to kind of show that actually it's not the case that the entire country is kind of quite xenophobic now. Actually, there's a bit more of a nuance in relation to this.
Yeah, does it demonstrate that nuance in the poll in and of itself, but only really when you compare it to other polls, where you might think, well, those results seem to be somewhat contradictory?
Yeah, like I did a piece in the Sunday Independent a couple of weeks ago, which had both questions in there, you know, which has a mix of different questions, which shows, yeah, this is what it looks from one perspective, this is what it looks like from that other perspective, and trying to tease out what I basically call the soft right, which is basically a group in the middle, which is exactly this kind of important. I think it's very important to have both perspectives, because, as I say, in the absence of polls, you wouldn't actually have that kind of nuance. And in the absence of that analysis, you wouldn't have that nuance, I don't think.
Yeah. And people tend to jump to, you know, one poll gets it wrong, therefore all polls will be wrong forever and ever. But in the instance of the last referendum.
Yeah, the referendums. Yeah.
Was that just an example of bad polling, or an example of how people can change their minds over a period of time?
I think it's probably two things going on there. If you compare that against the kind of repeal the 8th referendum, all the polls consistently had around 65 to 63 or 62%. No one really batted an eye about the 3 or 4% differences in those. But the recent polling for the referendum was interesting, because it was quite different. Again, I wrote a piece in Sun Hindo the week before, where we published a poll saying, you know, most people were intending to vote yes, but we had this massive, I think it was 40% don't knows. And the piece I wrote suggested, listen, I think this is going to swing towards a no. Because one other question we asked was, what story are you paying the most attention to? And lots of people were paying attention to different stories, but the yes voters were only paying attention to other stories, not the referendum. The no voters, to a person, were all focused on the referendum, which suggests to me that they were going to have an oversized influence in the conversations that would transpire in the aftermath of, you know, in the last week. And that's what we saw during the last week. So I did some polling the last week on the telephone and then on polling day itself. And that just showed the change, basically. On polling day, the poll was bang on, but unfortunately, you know, that's too late. Anyway.
And between phone polls and on the street polls and internet polls, does the margin of error differ in those different ways of doing it?
The margin of error, I'll park the margin of error discussion because that gets very technical, because there's issues about the margin of error itself. So the margin of error really only relates to what's called sampling error. It's just the nature of the randomness of the number of people you get. If you get 1,000 people, it just means it's plus or minus 3% for a 50% estimate like the US. For Irish estimates, those numbers actually decline. But when it comes to the difference between these different polling companies, different polling methods. And I will say I do all of these methods. So I notice there is a significant difference across them. Telephone and face-to-face suffer a little bit more from this thing called social desirability bias, where people will say something to the person on the door that they think is socially desirable. They don't want to...
Yeah.
They don't want to say something that's unpopular that outs them as, you know, a xenophobe or a racist or whatever. And that was quite observable, in particular in the Brexit referendum. When I was working in the UK, we could clearly see in relation to Brexit, face-to-face had like 55% remain. So it was quite a bit off. And you could see even in the exit poll that was conducted on a face-to-face basis from the recent referendums, that was still off by about 8 or 9 points or something thereabouts.
Okay.
So face-to-face has this social desirability. In fact, you can go back to historically, you know, when Ireland had this surge of the Home Rule Party in 1874, the 1874 election, that happened in the aftermath of the 1872 Secret Ballot Act, which basically meant that you were no longer voting. Before then, you were voting in person. You would say who you were voting for, and people could hear, your landlord could hear you were voting for. And so everyone in Ireland voted either Conservative or Liberal in the 1868 election. But in 1874, all of a sudden, the entire country turned green because of the secrecy. So I think the secrecy thing is actually a very important component of all of these sorts of differences in terms of whether people are willing to say they'll vote for Sinn Féin or a radical right party or whatever. And those parties do tend to do a little bit better in the online environment. The face-to-face and telephone are a little bit purer in terms of the random sampling, but the online stuff is getting much more sophisticated, that you build this panel of 20 or 30,000 and you select from that a representative group. So for example, when I do my online polling, 22% of the people who get asked to participate would have voted for Fianna Fáil at the last election. And so we've measured these exact numbers and make sure that it's exactly right in relation to that. And then face-to-face is these other things. Now, face-to-face is very good because you can access some areas that are a little bit more difficult to access. But again, it can be quite difficult. It's done by this thing called cluster sampling, which basically means it's not like a randomly throughout the country. You'll pick 40 locations or maybe even 80 locations and you'll do your polling in those specific locations. The difficulty with that and the financial difficulty of doing it is a lot of Ireland's is one-off housing. So 25% of housing, I guess, is one-off housing. So it's very hard to capture those. It's very hard to get apartments. So you have to actually, in all methods, you have to work against, you know, the system to try
On that point, because there was the Sunday Indo's getting a lot of mentions here today. Yeah, the Sunday Indo did run that poll. It was probably, I don't know, was it your poll?
Yeah.
Saying that a majority of people now favour a version of what we have now already in government, i.e. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. Are you asking people, though, in that kind of poll, what's your first preference? Because it would strike me that because of our voting system, a lot of people will vote quite strategically sometimes. You might give your number one to somebody you think is a no-hoper. You actually know that your number, your second preference, your third preference is the person who's actually going to get elected, but you want to make a stand.
That's an interesting way to do it. I mean, I don't consider the kind of the lower preference. We just ask who's your first preference because, broadly speaking, that's what would be reported on polling on election day. This party got that percentage or whatever. But the question that you said was the question which we had at the front page, which had, what was your preferred government? Is that the question you're talking about?
Yeah.
So that was an interesting question. We gave people a variety of different governments and they ranked ordered their preferred to least preferred. And I ran basically an STV elimination to just work out, well, who are the two most preferred types of government?
Yeah.
And I think it was like 2/3 in favour of a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael independent government. So the Green Party option actually went way down. And then the second most favoured was the Sinn Féin opposition, which seems at this point increasingly unlikely. It seems increasingly likely that it's at least the poll position is for the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael independent government at this point in time.
Yeah. It's fascinating stuff. Kevin, thanks a million for coming into us today.
Sean.
That was Kevin Cunningham there, lecturer in politics in TU Dublin and founder of Ireland Thinks.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.